I want to talk to you this morning just a little bit about a guy, it's really special in my heart, a guy named Peter. Simon Bar-Jonas, better known as Simon, son of John. He's well documented in Scripture. We know he's a brother of Andrew. We know that the family came from Bethsaida. We know that they were Galilean fishermen, and they were partners with James and John, the sons of thunder. They were also these guys were the sons of Zebedee. We also know that Peter was married. He resided in Capernaum. We find they were influenced by the teachings of John the Baptist. Peter's pretty much the leader of the 12. He's always outspoken, sometimes with his own chagrin. So let's, this morning, explore the way that the Lord dealt with Peter and learn that he's going to deal with each and every one of us. But each and every one of us, he's going to deal with it in the same way he dealt with Peter. That's the message today, is that get ready. The point is summoned, that Christ summoned him. In Luke 6, 4 through 10, and Luke 5, 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. They beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Now, understand, one of the first things he said, he looked over there, he looked at Peter, he saw him, he said, "Well, hey, come on. I'm a sailor. I love to fish. Been out there on the old Salmon River a lot of times when I was a kid to fish. And there's, you go out there, I've got a fisherman in the crowd tonight, today. But if you have, there's days you go out there, and boy, the fish are biting, and you just reel them in. And other days you sit out there, and you might as well not have any bait on the hook, because you're just out there not fishing. These guys were out there, they knew this sea. They knew the Sea of Galilee. They were fishermen. They were fishermen by trade. And they knew the fish weren't there that night. They weren't there. And they come in, they toil, they come in, and here's this upstart speaking to him. And he said, "Hey guys, go on back out there and throw your nets on the other side." Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'd had trouble. Because I've been tired, I've been wet, bedraggled, hungry, wore out, and this guy standing here on the back telling me to go out and throw my nets out again. But nevertheless, he did it. They did it, remember? That's the point, they did it. That's the one thing we need to understand, that when he calls us and we decide to follow him, we need to obey. That's the big thing. I don't know what the deal is today, but nobody wants to obey. I've been a preacher for a few years and have performed a few wedding ceremonies. You'd be surprised how many brides, when they get ready to say their vows, say, take obey out of it. So Peter, he says, they tell him, he says, "Launch out, Peter." He said, "Launch out." Peter said, "No, Lord." He said, "Man," he said, "Oh, well." He said, of course, he's saying, we're tired. We'll go. We'll go ahead and do it." So they went out there and they did it. And then when that fish got in that net and they started pulling them in, and they kept pulling them in, and they kept pulling them in, and pretty soon they had to call another boat over there because the boat was sinking. And then Peter says, "Okay, God, forgive me. I'm sorry." Okay, so the first time he's summoned, he was called. Then he was separated. In Matthew 16, 13 through 17, we find, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said to them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So he's summoned, and now he's separated, he's confronted by Christ. Each and every one of us, we're called. Can you guys remember when before you were saved? Did you look for God? No, God was looking for you, wasn't he? That's the whole deal. God looks for us. And then when he finally summons us, and then he separates us out, and he says, But who men say that I am, the Son of Man is? Okay. The point is, we're confronted by Christ. He says, Who am I? At that point in time, you have to decide who Christ is. You have to decide in your heart and your mind who he is. Is he truly the Son of God? If he is, then you're going to have to admit that. You're going to have to confront that situation. Then he confessed to Christ. Peter did. He confessed to Christ. He said, You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And then he's confirmed by Christ. He says, Blessed are you, Simon, because only the Father revealed this to you, not me. Only the Father. Okay? So we've got to each make that decision to follow him. When we're confronted by him, sometimes it's a hard decision to make, isn't it? A hard decision to make. But then there's another point that comes along. At that point in time, once we decide that he is that, then there's another situation that comes in. Says he's sifted. Luke 22:31-34, and then 56-61. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that ye may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, but thy faith will fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. There are three different denials. And then remember, when Peter was at the trial, a certain maid beheld him, and he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. But after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also with them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of the truth, this fellow also with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. So Satan denied. Christ told him, he said, Satan wants you. Peter, he said, Satan wants you. He wants to try you. He wants to find out what your metal is. Where are you from? Do you really mean what you say? You say you're going to follow this Christ? Does he really mean that? He says, I don't know about you, but I've done a little farming in my life too. And I don't remember this particular type of reaping, a little bit before my time. But there used to be, they take that wheat, you know, they bring it in, they bring the sheaves in, they lay them on the threshing floor, and they take whips and flails and beat the wheat and knock the wheat out of there. And the wind had to be up because that was when they winnowed the wheat. They take a shovel or a fork, pitch this up in the air, and the wind would blow it out. And this is the way Satan treats each and every one of us as Christians, guys. He's going to talk to each and every one of you. You know that? If he hadn't already, you better get yourself straightened out because something's wrong. Because he's going to be after you. I guarantee it. Satan's desire was to sift you as wheat. The supplication of Christ, don't forget that when he also said Satan's desire is to have you, desire to sift you, desire to try you and find where you're at, there's also the supplication of Christ. He says, I have prayed for you. Now, boy, when Jesus himself prays for you, and you had to go back to 17th chapter book in John, because that everybody says, well, let's repeat the Lord's Prayer. No, they don't repeat the Lord's Prayer. They repeat the Lord's example prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the entire chapter, the 17th chapter of the book of John. And at that point, in that 17th chapter of the book of John, he does, he prays for you and I today and all the ones who come in the future. Christ prays for us. And finally, he subjected, Peter subjected to remorse. When the cock crowed, if you remember right, he went out and he wept bitterly. He knew he failed. He knew that Christ had been right. So then he gets another situation. So he's sifted now. But then he says, sleepy. He got sleepy. You remember that? Matthew 26:38-45, Christ is basically on the way to the cross. He's in the garden, you remember? And he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even to death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and says to them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Anybody guilty? Why? How many times when Christ could have used us, how many times when we could have been praying, how many times we could have been studying, we could have been helping somebody, we could have been doing this, we could have been doing that, we could have been doing the other, but we were doing something else, something entirely immaterial. Each of us is going to doze off. Now we're sleeping, and then we, point five, they're sanctified. Sanctified, that's a fancy word for being set apart. That's being taken. In Mark 16:7, it said, but go your way, tell the disciples of Peter that he goes before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him, and he said unto you. When they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Peter, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. There's a lesson here. But that's not what he said. That's not what the scripture said. That's our interpretation. That was the King James. In that case, the King James interpretation. They did the best they could. But what it actually says is, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, agapeo thou me more than these? And he said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo. I love thee, he says, and feed my lambs. Did you know that? There's a difference in the words. Agape love, I don't believe that a human being can have agape love. That's God love. With Philadelphia, phileo, that's the kind of love we have one for another. If you notice here, Peter had denied Christ 3 times. Christ confronts him 3 times. And he confronts him the first 2 times, he said, agape without me. Peter answered and said, phileo, brotherly love. Second time again, he said, agape without me. Again, Peter says, phileo. But the third time, Christ said, meaning the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest phileo. And Peter was grieved, and he said, Lord, I know it's all things. I know it's I love thee, phileo thou. You get to play on the words there. You have to understand, sometimes you have to go back into the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar. I had 1 semester of Greek, and then Greek, and it took me. So the word studies that I do, you have to study each word and find out what goes on with it. But in this case here, that you're called by Christ. Remember now, he's called. He's called by Christ. Here's the situation where Christ called him individually. Remember, he's fallen now. He went to sleep. He denied Christ three times. And all of a sudden, he says, Peter, you too. I want you to come too. He says, all you guys, all you other 11, you other 10 of us left. He said, you guys come. Bring a special invitation to Peter. He said, Peter, you come too. I want you to come too. And that's when he confronts him then. Okay? And after he's challenged by Christ, do you love me? And he finally admits that he did, in his Dileona, then he's commanded by Christ to feed the flock. I've heard it preached a couple, three times. The first point is just feed my lambs, then feed my sheep, right? Three different times. Again, three different situations. I've heard it said to feed my lambs is to feed the newborn Christians. Feed my sheep to be feed the church. And then the last, to feed all Christians in the world. All this is going on so far, and Peter's still not saved. Christ is dealing with him, but he's still not saved. They said to him, and let's see, in John 20:22, then, you mentioned this last time he was here, and when he had said this, he breathed on him and said to him, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And there appeared to him cloven tongues as a fire set upon each of them. So at that point in time, it was a time of salvation, we're permeated with the Holy Spirit, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, right? And then if we really get serious about this, spend some time with the old guys, they said that word, prayed through. You ever heard that word? I see some nods out there. I always wondered what that meant. And then when I got serious with Christ, I found out what it meant. When them guys come to the altar, they spent time at the altar. And when they come up, they were different. After that, power came upon them, the fire set upon their heads, remember? It's not always been easy for Christians. In conclusion, Peter and Paul were imprisoned in Rome by Nero. They were sentenced to death. During their 9 months in prison, they led two captains of the guards, 47 others to Christ. After 9 months, Peter was brought out, scourged, and was crucified, head down at his request, for he felt he was not worthy to hang as Christ hung. Understand, guys, that each and every one of us are confronted the same way that the disciples, Peter especially, was confronted by Christ. Each and every one of us. When we come to the point where we accept the call, we can do it in a couple of ways. We can just say, yeah, Lord, here am I. Or we can say, yeah, Lord, here am I, send me. Or you say, yeah, Lord, here am I, use me. These guys, that they followed Christ, you know, and the day he was crucified, you remember the famous statement that John made? Basically, my interpretation, well, it was nice while it lasted, but it's over, let's go fishing. Remember that statement, basically? Yeah. That's what they said. They went fishing. They took off. Then, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they became a force to be reckoned with. They turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Why? Because they had seen the risen Lord. They knew the full ramification of that resurrection. They knew that they no longer had to fear death, hell, and the grave because Christ had defeated it. We come up this Christmas season, we do the birth of Christ, we mentioned the fact this morning. I also go back to the point, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And all the way through history, up there, up to the point in time of Christ coming, it was animal blood could not erase sin. It could simply cover it. It had to be someone of equal importance, somebody of equal stature. It had to be a human being for a human being. And Christ sent his son in the form of a human to sacrifice for you and for me. The only thing that we have to do, or the only thing we have to do, is to confess him, that he is who he claims to be, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the Son of God, and to confess it with our mouth. That's it. That's it. But boy, I want to tell you what, once that happens, once you do that, then you begin to pay a price if you're truly saved. If you truly mean what you say, then you begin to pay a price. Not because you have to, but because you want to.